Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Molly and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the score. Every day with Olin is like Christmas morning. You run down the stairs, look at all the wonderful gifts under the tree.
And Santa sleigh delivers.
Saban and Tua are not looking at the Heisman, so that pisses me off a little bit, right?
Got to find something to be angry about.
Yeah, right? You know, Max Holloway wins. He wins the UFC lightweight title again, defends his belt. And I thought Tua was going to win the Heisman. It's been a great night for Hawaii, but, you know, Kyler Murray is a good football player, too. So,
did Tua get the Bible or the belt after that?
We don't do that anymore, man. Not in this society nowadays. But Samoans are you know, they're still a little old school, and Tua doesn't seem to mind, and he seems to thank his dad, and he gives dad a lot of credit for where he is. So to each their own.
Speaking of old school, Olin, last night was an old fashioned grinded out Bears victory. They stopped the run. They ran the football. Yep. In today's day and age, where you see, you know, 54-51 is the way people thought the game was going, and offensive football certainly is prevalent in the NFL, that was a refreshing change for the Bears.
Yeah, and a lot of questions we asked were could the Bears run the ball in a game like this, right? A cold weather, defense dominating. Could they put the game away with the run game, obviously? The defense was the biggest story of the night, but so was the run game. So were them establishing the run game versus a very good Rams interior front. So the Bears come out, and you know it's cold weather. The crowd noise had a factor, just because it puts the offensive line. Take it from a guy who played offensive line in opposing stadiums against a defensive front like that. If you're a step behind, if the crowd makes you use a silent count, if they affect communication at all, it's like an avalanche, guys. It's like you can't stop it after a while because now the defense got to jump on you. If you put Mack, Akeem Hicks, Goldman, Floyd, you put them on the road and they're tough enough. But you put them in their own stadium and the crowd noise affects your communication and they got a major advantage against you guys.
You want to see Olin come out Sunday? Joe's on Weed Street, 940 West Weed Street. 9 to 12 is the pregame, which features Hub and Patrick Manley. And then the postgame, roughly 3:30 to 5:30, you'll see Hub again with Olin and Big Cat. And it's a great place to go. They got over 120 TVs. And I believe they have off-track betting as well for the races. And there's a great racing term, which is needed the race for a horse that doesn't quite go. Is that what we feel about Mitch? Did he just kind of need the race, need the game in order to get back to where he was? Olin hadn't thrown. He said he had a 10-day break from throwing, which was the longest of his life.
Yeah, I don't know if that's what I feel or if that's what I really hope. He was just rusty, right? It's not that his arm is bothered, which you kind of feel because there were really some good throws he made in there that his arm didn't look sore. He took off running, but just hoping that it was just rust because we watched him play earlier this year where balls would sail on him when he gets pumped up and he gets out there and he overthrows a few guys. But he did not have a great game last night. Luckily, Goff, his counterpart, had a worse game and looks like he never wants to play in the cold ever again. So, Mitch did not look very good last night. They didn't need him. The Bears' defense was that good. But don't fool yourself. Now, Mitch still affects the game because, you know, they got to respect that he's going to run the ball. So he opens up some of that run game for the Bears' O-line. And just because of what he's put on film, They got to respect the pass there. It's not like years before where I played and they're just lining up with 55 guys in the box because they know your quarterback can't throw the ball at all. So Mitch has gained some respect where they're just not going to fully load the box and blitz you all day long. But he definitely has to play better, hoping that it was just rust, hoping that that shoulder is not something that's going to linger on him through the rest of the season.
This segment with Olin Krutz is brought to you by Ford, inviting you to visit your local Ford store or buy FordNow.com. So, Olin, maybe you can help us understand how the Bears were able to successfully run the ball inside for, I mean, when you have 194 yards rushing, you're controlling the line of scrimmage. And when you looked at their interior defense with Sue, with Aaron Donald, I don't know that I expected that, but the Bears possessed the ball because they could run the football. How did they do it?
Yeah, it's scheme, right? You come in and you account for Sue and Donald, and then you know the linebackers for the Rams aren't the most impressive linebackers. So you block the front four, you get double teams on them. You come downhill, you come down with good technique, and you run the ball. But you make sure that guys are not one on one all the time with Donald. You take your time as a guard or as a tackle. If you're on a double team with those two guys, you take your time getting up to the linebackers because if the Rams do have a weakness on their defense, it's that their linebackers are not very good, which when you play offensive line, then you say to each other, look, if this guy makes the play, so be it. You know, let's just make sure we get Sue and Donald blocked. And then they had some wham scheme in there. By that, I mean they let Donald free, and they wham him from the backfield with the fullback, Burton. So they gave him a bunch of different looks, right? And honestly, guys, Phillips was doing something that kind of baffled me through the whole game last night, where he was putting Sue out there at defensive end on the same side as Donald, and credit Nagy and the offensive coaches for recognizing that and say, okay, if they're going to put Brockers, their other D-tackle, DN at nose by Fowler, well, that's the weak side of the line. Let's just run at that, right? So I don't know why they put Sue out there at defensive end. Sometimes he was lined up really wide, and the Bears just ran away from them. So credit the Bears for recognizing what Coach Phillips was trying to do. We all know that Coach Phillips is an extremely good defensive coach, knows way more defensive football than I do. But why he was doing that, I'll never know. But also credit James Daniels and Witzman and Cody White here, the interior three, for working together, because you're not going to block those guys by yourself. So you got to get a double team on them. You got to have proper footwork. Credit the offensive coaches. Credit the offensive scheme, because it takes everybody to block those guys.
Olin, what did you make of the crowd, the siren, the noise, the kind of celebration, the dancing, mm-hmm. the need for beeswax and tying yourself to the masthead, whatever Homer had to do?
Right. Look, I understand that may bug some people, but I'll tell you this right now, guys. That with that defense the Bears got, if the crowd will stay involved and keep the noise level up, because, look, they took McVay out of the game. It looked like they had a hard time communicating, getting the plays in. A lot of their offense looks to me now like it's McVay telling Goff exactly what to do, because when Goff couldn't get the play from the sideline, it didn't even seem like he was capable of calling his own play. And I was watching the game thinking, damn, call to play. I mean, even if you don't get the play from the sideline, you must have studied your game plan all week. You got that look you want, call to play. So crowd affected them there with the timeouts. You could tell Mac and the defensive line, you know, with Hicks and Goldman and Floyd and Roy Robinson, Harrison and Lynch, they were getting a jump on the Rams offensive line, who had a terrible night, which I feel bad about since they're coached by Aaron Cromer, but that's a whole nother story. But listen,
I'm sure you do. Yeah.
Listen, a big factor in the game. I know some people don't want to believe it, but like I said earlier in this show, take it from a guy who played offensive line on the road. Take it from a guy who knows that the crowd can make it very uncomfortable on communication and your offensive line trying to get guys blocked. So if you're a step behind this Bears defensive line and they're coming at you and you can't communicate to each other and you can't get up on a snap count, well, you're in trouble.
Olin, what would have been your reaction if four defensive linemen would have entered your huddle especially on third and goal from the two?
You know, honestly, it would have been, it probably would have been really fun. You know, it probably would have been if Tank Johnson and Tommy Harris and Alex Brown and Adewale Ogunleye came in a huddle, and we all knew it was going to be, you know, fake dive to Tommy Harris, and we're going to throw the ball to, you know, whoever our backup tackle was in those years, you know, and he's going to catch it, and he's going to do some dance, and we're all going to celebrate. I mean, what was the total tonnage of weight on the field at that moment on the Bears side? It's got to be some kind of record, right? And not only that, but then Sewell makes a great catch with, you know, who knows, Roy Robinson Harrison is dragging through the backfield while Keem Hicks looks like a running back there faking a play. I mean, look, they say, a lot of people say the game, look, guys, just go out there and have fun. Well, Coach Nagy right now, he's making sure his guys are having fun. He's making sure everybody, the red zone is important, right? That's what all the coaches preach, most important area on the football field. Well, guess what? With all the plays the Bears got in, the whole team is off the bench watching when the offense gets in the red zone because you don't know what the hell is going to happen. And, you know, and the other side of that is, look, Roquan Smith takes it down to the four-yard line, and we're not just going to run power. We're going to motion here, motion there, and Allen Robinson lines up wrong, and then we get another penalty,
right,
and you get a field goal, and I'm over there screaming, just run dive, right? And then all those guys run the field, and I'm screaming again, but then Sewell scores a touchdown, and there's some method to this madness of what Coach Nagy is doing, and as long as your team buys in, and as long as everybody seems to be coming together as a team, and everything's working, then you know what? It's hard to complain with.
Yeah, their last three touchdowns are Akeem Hicks run, Tariq Cohen pass, and Sewell catch. I mean,
right.
It's truly bizarre.
But imagine now, you're a defense, right? And on Friday, you go over goal line, and you go over your goal line personnel, or you go over red zone, and you go over that. Imagine, like, what are they working on? You know, what are the Packers going to be working on? Okay, now listen, when four D linemen come on the field, this is our package.
Yeah.
But when they run T formation with Chase Daniels and Howard's going to fake it to Gabriel and then run a dive, okay, now this is the defense we're going to play. So if the Bears do come out and just run power, they might walk in the end zone because the defense ain't going to be ready for that.
Yeah, you have no idea what to expect.
Olin,
right,
thank
you.
You
have to prepare for it. Yep. No
Thanks,
problem,
buddy.
Guys.
Great talk
Thanks,
to you.
Olin.
God bless.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.